What was the first school you attended?
I attended John Marshall Elementary School at 55th, 56th in Peoria in Tulsa. We lived on South Madison, not very far from there. But then we built a house at the southeast corner of Southland Shopping Center, which is now the Promenade. And in building that new house and moving, I went to Carnegie for about a year, and then Waite Phillips opened at 36th and Hudson. And that also was an important thing in my life because they had some advanced learning programs like math, and I had multiple special teachers that I think it was kind of a going both ways. They recognized that I enjoyed school, did whatever they said, didn't get in trouble, and the bond that I had with all my teachers at Waite Phillips was wonderful, as it carried on to Edison for 6 years after Waite Phillips. I always felt school was kind of a contest. That's maybe not good looking back, but every test was a contest. I wanted to win. I wanted to be the fastest to finish the multiplication tables or make as many A's and hundreds on tests as I could. I was not very athletic. I played basketball a couple years. Some years in elementary school, church league, and then a couple years at Edison. But physically, that was back at a time where we didn't lift weights, we didn't work out, we didn't do anything, and I was 120, 130 pounds and 6 foot and had a family that didn't exercise and didn't. We enjoyed sports, but they never participated in sports.
Right.
Tennis, golf. So that also shaped my life because it gave me more time to study.
Were you active socially in clubs and all that at Edison?
I was disappointed that I wasn't a social club at Edison because that was the end thing. But I was really close to all the members of the clubs. I was just kind of the next guy in but never got in. I was Mr. February in my senior year at Edison. I was head of the Key Club and head of the K Club on the student council. Loved Edison. I mean, I had at least four teachers in high school that were teaching night class at TU or ORU.
Hmm.
And to sit there and think, well, they're teaching the same things to the college students, and for them to say, oh, you guys are a whole lot smarter than my college students. I mean, how it's blowing the smoke, you know, it's making you feel great.
Sure.
And so made lots of A's in Edison. Finished tied for number one in the class. I had my methods for studying. I had my own room at home and a hideaway bed sofa. So I would fold the bed up and study lying on my sofa during the day and then unfolded sleep at night. But that was my little private area that I could study. And when it came time to decide where to go to school, maybe my shyness or my lack of adventuresomeness made me, I applied at Westminster and got in, and applied at TU and got in, and just stayed at TU because I figured, well, if I really want to be a doctor, and I really have to make A's to get in, I know I can sit in this room and study and make A's. And that worked.
You referred to shyness. Were you a shy young man?
Well, I didn't. I dated, but I wasn't quite as wild as, not wild, but not as aggressive in, with girls. And because I wasn't a jock, that hurt me a little bit, I thought. Now, looking back, when I go to my reunions, I'm kind of the king because everybody knows what I've become, a neurosurgeon and all the things I've done with my life. And now I'm a star compared to some of these other guys that were the stars when they were younger. that makes me feel good. I just kept the course, focused, determined, didn't let anything get in my way, which made me different than lots, and probably ended up with psychosocial issues that made family life and things different for me and more difficult for me, and with some rocky times in my married life, because me, I was married to medicine. I was married to my wife, but she was assigned the kids, assigned the house, assigned the checks, assigned the cleaning.
Yep.
I was working half days, 6 to 6.
Right, right. But when you said you were shy and so forth and didn't get in a social club, but you felt there must have been a confidence in you because you knew mentally, hey, I'm mastering this work.
That is correct.
So you had that going for you. When you walked down the hall, you knew who you were.
Yes. That got stronger as I moved further. Getting accepted to medical school and getting the only neurosurgical residency slot out of OU. There's a godlike power that neurosurgery bestows on you because of you do. Take somebody that's about to die and you save them. And take someone that no one knows what's wrong with them and figure it out and do the right surgery. There's a narcissistic flair to neurosurgeons. I've been told by psychologists that you don't want to ever be called a narcissist because that is incorrigible, unreversible, just terrible. But a narcissistic flair, you have to be, have some of that because you're the captain of the ship in the operating room. You got 15 people doing everything you want to. You got the family outside waiting on you. You got the smoothness of your surgery day moving along. Wanting the patient to do well, the worry the next day, are they going to be okay when I make rounds the next morning? You got to have this confidence and bravado that allows you to do the same thing over and over every day.
Yeah.